Heavenly Father, we just want to give you the praise. We want to give you the glory. We want to give you the honor. Father, come and take your place in this sanctuary. For we submit under you, O God. We reverence you. We celebrate you even on today. Father, O God, come and take your glory. Come and take the glory in this place. We give you the praise and we give you the glory, O God. Father, as I bring the word of life, your word, even unto the people this morning, I pray that it reaches them and it manifests fruit in our lives in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that they will not hear me, but they will hear the word that you have sent even unto them in the name of Jesus. Let this word become life. Let this word transform. Let this word quicken every spirit under the sound of my voice in the name of Jesus. Let them know that their set time has come to manifest in the name of Jesus. We give you the praise and we give you the glory, for it is in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. And the people of God say amen. Before we sit down, I would like for us to look at the book of Isaiah, chapter number 60. Isaiah chapter number 60. We're going to read it throughout the message, but I want us to read the opening statement of this Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60 verse 1 says, "Arise and shine." So it's telling us two things here. It says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." May the Lord bless the reading of his word in the name of Jesus. You may be seated in God's presence. The Lord is calling you to arise. And he is calling you to shine. God is calling you to arise. Say to your neighbor, God is calling you to arise. God said to your neighbor, God is calling you to shine. Many of us, every time I read the Bible, I read it and it's like, how do you make sense out of it? It's so easy to read something. It's so easy to conclude that it's poetry. It sounds good. Arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. It's almost like poetry. It is poetry, but it's a whole lot more than poetry because it is a command. God is saying to someone under the sound of my voice, it is time for you to arise. It is time for you to shine. So the question now is, how do I arise? How do I shine? How do I know that the time has come? That is a $1 million question. It is so easy for us to continue to say it and say it like poetry. We say it, it almost rolls off our tongue. But is it happening? Are we manifesting the word of God? Are we obeying the command that says, arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you? How do you know it is time? That is the first question I want us to answer. Because look at the perfect, this what happened this morning. I don't know, maybe some of you were in worship and you didn't really see what happened. But this, what happened today was a perfect illustration for my sermon this morning. How do you know that it is time? I was just about to tell one of the ushers to go get Pastor Mrs. Olowokeri to have her sit next to me so that I can explain to her that the choir has actually two special numbers today so that she will know ahead of time. But because she did not know, she was coming straight from the back. And it was rightfully so that she was coming straight from the back to get on the altar because they were about to round up the song. But she did not know that there was another song. So the question, and we had to call her back because she didn't know. So my question, our very first question, when we want to obey a command is, when do we obey the command? How do I know that it is time to arrive? You can arise out of season. And when you arise out of season, you don't see results. And so you feel defeated. Well, it doesn't work. The word of God, it doesn't work. Come on, I've tried it. It doesn't work. How do we know that it is time? That is a million-dollar question. Because if you arise out of season or when it is not time, then it does not yield results. That was a good example. We can find so many different examples where you, oops, I guess I shouldn't have said it when I said it. If I had waited one more second, then maybe it would have been right. How do we know? How are we sure? Is there something that's going to let me know that it is actually time, that this is my time to arise? How do you know it is time to start that school, to start that program? How do you know that it is the right time to start that business, to start that house fellowship? How do you know that it is time to start that company, to start that child by raising that child up in another part of the world? How do you know that it is time to start that foundation? How do you know that it is time to start that book? How do you know that it is time to start that radio station? How do you know that it is time to start that homeless shelter? How do you know that it is time to start that prison ministry? How do you know that it is time to arrive? We have so many ideas. We want to do so much. Some of us, we listen to the word of God that says, write the vision, make it plain. You have plans. You know what you want to do. You know that you want to start companies that are going to be multi-millionaire companies. But the question is, when do I act? When do I move? How do I know that the season is ripe? How do the farmers know that it is time to plant corn and not mangoes? The million-dollar question is not that we don't want to obey, sir. It's not that we don't want to arise and shine. I know you all want to arise and shine, but you need someone to convince you that it is the right time and the right season to act. How do we know that it is the right time? Let's look at Psalm chapter number 27. Psalm 27. How do I know to arise? Psalm 27 verse 1 gives us a promise here. And it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When we are confident in the word of God, when we know what thus says the Lord, there is that extra boldness. Because guess what? God created you with a particular boldness. That boldness is the boldness to say, I want to do A, B, and C. But then his word was prepared for you, even before you were born, so that when that thing you are conceived with, when that pregnancy, that seed that you're carrying, the seed of promise that you want to do this, this, and this. The Word of God serves as a spiritual midwife, that when you read it and you confess it and you begin to look at it and you begin to analyze it, it is that Word that tells you to push. It is time. The Word of God says, the Lord is my light. You do not have to shine by yourself. You do not have to worry whether you will make it or not. The Bible says that my people perish for lack of knowledge. The devil is deceiving us, not because he also believes like we believe that we will not make it. He understands that we do not know the word of life. And so anyone that does not know the word of life will live like someone that is already defeated. They will never step out on faith because they have no guarantee that a net is going to catch their fall. And so the devil begins to deceive us and makes us believe that it isn't time and it isn't the season. But the Word of God says you do not have to shine all by yourself, but the Lord is your light and your salvation. Whom shall you fear? You cannot fear the ground. How does a farmer know that it is time to plant the corn? He is not fearing the ground. He understands that after the ground does everything that the ground wants to do, whether the ground decides to yield the corn or not, there is a blessing that comes from heaven. It is called the showers of blessing. And the Bible says that the rain comes down from the heaven and does not return again. The farmer is confident not in the ground, but in the rain. We have to move from being confident in the ground that we walk on and put our trust in the light of the Lord that is going to shine. Because it says that the Lord is your light and your salvation. Whom shall you fear? The Lord is the strength of your life. Of whom shall you be afraid? How do you know that it is time to arise? Joshua chapter number 1. We're going to read, let's just put about 7 scriptures from 1 through 7. Let's look at it. How do we know? The Bible is giving us a command. Arise, shine, for your light has come. It's not about you shining the light. It is about the world is full of darkness, but you are the sons of God, and the light from heaven is shining. Even though other people are benefiting from the light, the sun comes up in the morning because of you. This is another promise, Joshua chapter number 1. Joshua chapter number 1, we're going to read from 1 through 7. It says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass, I'm going to read that again. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, this is where I want us to understand. How do we know when to arise? This word is for somebody under the sound of my voice. It says, Moses, my servant, is dead. What does that mean to you? Whatever it is, whoever it is that you feel got it together, God said that that person, anybody that has it together and is already up there, they are at their peak. As you are rising, they are coming down. It says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, somebody say now. Now, therefore, arise. Somebody say, arise. Go over to Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, to the children of Israel. Continue. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, and as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness to the Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river of Euphrates, all the land of Hittites, and unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. As a child of a living God, the Son of God, there is no daughter of God. We are all sons of God. Glory to God. Sons, you know, when you talk about the understanding of scriptures, when we talk about sons, there is a level of inheritance that goes to the son in almost every culture. In royal families, any family, even people who don't have anything, when they are about to pass on, they give the responsibility to the son. We are not sons by gender. We are sons by the Spirit. We are sons. The Bible says that he gave us an adoption so that we can be sons of God. So I am addressing you as sons of God. The Bible says that anywhere that your feet can touch, you can have. We must never be afraid to step out on faith. We must never be afraid to do what God, any idea that you have, except if it's to kill somebody or to steal or rob somebody. Any idea that you have and that you are pregnant with, it is by the inclination of the Holy Spirit. It is God that has given you the idea. And a lot of us, we're sitting on the idea. When a mother, I told this story before, and I would like to say it again. There was a particular hospital that I used to work, and there was a woman who was into prostitution. And she was pregnant, but she continued in her prostituting ways. And so the particular night that her water broke, it was time for the child to come forth. Her water broke. She cleaned up herself, mopped it up, and she went to her. She started having labor pains. But because she had an appointment, she still had to get that last customer. She went ahead with her water already broke and everything. She's already in labor pains. The baby was coming. She pushed the baby back. And she went for her appointment, and she did what she had to do. And then afterwards, I'm telling you a true life story. Afterwards, she went to the hospital, Southwest General. And when the baby came out, the baby was had so much infection and was really, I mean, let me tell you, there is a certain, after a woman breaks her water, when the water that is around this baby is serving as a protection from the outside world. And so when the water breaks, you have a certain amount of hours before you get to the hospital so that the baby is not at risk and you also are not at risk. And so this woman waived this grace period of being for the baby to be delivered. And she went up to her appointment and she caught all kinds of infection. And so this baby ended up in my unit, which is the NICU, neonatal intensive care. And this baby was there for months. What am I saying out of that? Sometimes it is crazy for us to think that we are pregnant and it is time to give birth, but we're saying, no, it's not time yet. I just don't have enough boldness. Guess what? Whether you have enough boldness or not, the baby's got to be delivered. You cannot hold back what God has planted on the inside of you. You cannot hold back what God has said must come out at the appointed time. And I am decreeing to anyone who is willing to believe the word of God today that you are in your appointed time. This is the set time. We just finished a 100-day fast. We just believed God for so many things. We just did a 24-hour prayer fast. What other time are we waiting for? This is your moment. There is something that God has on the inside of you. There is an idea. And our general overseer said something to us. There is a moment and a time called grace. If you do not act when God says act, then infection begins. When you do not deliver that baby, when nature, the nature of God said it's time for that child to come forth. It's time for that promise to come forth. And you're delaying. There is a grace period that if you don't act within those grace period, it becomes infected. It becomes an issue. We are waiting. We are waiting. But what we need to do is to step out on faith. I saw something on Facebook one day, and I hope I remember it correctly. It says that there is a man that is on the ledge, and he's thinking, well, I can't go back. Well, they could go back, but at the same time, they can jump. So two things is going to happen if they jump. It's either they're going to, I can't even remember the first one, but something about is when they jump, is either they grow wings and fly, or God puts something there that they're going to step on. But one thing is sure is that I am not going to fall to the ground. It is a matter of faith. You have to step out on faith. There are so many great people that are seated under the sound of my voice that you are bottling up the greatness that God has put on the inside of you. Because you have seen that someone else has failed in the same field, you feel that maybe you will fail. But I am here to decree and declare upon you that your set time is here. And the Bible says that He will be your light and your salvation. He will be the one to carry you through. Is it the dream that is keeping you up at night? You don't go a single day without thinking about this ministry that God told you to start. Maybe it's a prison ministry. You don't go a single day without thinking about this company that God says that you should start. You don't go a single day without thinking about this foundation that you're supposed to be starting in West Africa, Nigeria. You don't go a single day without thinking about this book. You keep thinking about the book. Stop thinking about the book. Get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and begin to write. There are so many things that is on the inside of us. And we are still asking ourselves, is it time? Is it time? Is it time? I am declaring to you, according to the word of the Lord, that the set time is now. Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2, verse number 17. Acts chapter number 2, verse number 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days. Just in case you do not know that it is the last days, I'm telling you, we are in the last days. When we have to clarify and redefine and reclarify that marriage means between a man and a woman, we know that we are living in the last days. And so the Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter number 2, verse 17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. How do you know that it is the set time? God is saying to someone under the sound of my voice that I will pour out my spirit upon
all. He didn't say the people who were born to write. He didn't say people who've already written should continue, are the only people who should continue writing. But God is saying to anyone who feel that there is a seed of promise on the inside of them, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. We are in the days of the manifestation of God's power. We are in the days of the manifestation of God's glory. And if we, the church, do not begin to manifest this glory, the people of the world understand laws, the laws of sowing and reaping, the laws of respect, the laws of honor. They do these things, though they do not believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. They are seeing the benefits while the people of God are still sitting down, only praying but never acting. It's time for us to arise. It's time for us to shine. It's time for us to understand that the glory of the Lord is risen for your sake. I want you to stand on your feet. We're going to go back to Isaiah chapter number 60. And we're going to, in the next 10 minutes, pray the entire scripture. I want to tell you that I have been praying this scripture for you, Salvation Center. I have been praying this scripture for you, and I have been... The Lord has given me a burden in my spirit. When I wake up in the morning, God has been waking me up at 4:30 every day. And I wake up, the burden that is in my spirit is to pray this scripture for the church. Because the days of the manifestation of the sons of God is now. And so I want to give you an opportunity to pray it for yourself and continue to pray, because this is what I am praying for each and every household in Salvation Center San Antonio. I want you to begin to decree. We're going to decree because this is a command. And so because it's a command, we're going to say, yes, this is what is going to happen in my own personal life. I want you to put your name there. And then you're going to put, because you're going to pray for yourself and you're going to pray for your neighbor. So you're going to pray for yourself and you're going to pray for Salvation Center San Antonio, because that's all of us. Amen. You're going to say, I, Joyce Sonny, will arise and shine. For my light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon me. The glory of the Lord is risen upon Salvation Center San Antonio. We shall arise and we shall shine in Jesus' name. Verse number 2. Please, we need the technical to please be on top of it. Verse number 2. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon Joyce Sonny, and his glory shall be seen upon me. For the Lord shall arise upon Salvation Center San Antonio, and the glory shall be seen upon it. Verse number 3. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light. I want you to say it for yourself. And the Gentiles shall come to my light, and kings to the brightness of my rising. Verse number 4. Lift up thine eyes around about and see. All they gather themselves together. They will come to Joyce Sonny. They will come to Salvation Center San Antonio. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then shalt thou see and flow together, and thy heart shall fear and be enlarged, Because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The abundance of the sea shall be converted unto me. In the name of Jesus, the abundance of the sea shall be converted to Salvation Center San Antonio. The forces of the Gentile shall come unto Joy Sunny. Verse number 6. I hope you're putting your name. The multitudes of camels shall cover Joy Sunny. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephan, all the Sheba shall come to thee. All they from Sheba shall come to Salvation Center San Antonio. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. Verse number 7. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto me. The rams of Neboth shall minister unto me. They shall come up with acceptance on thy altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these that fly as a cloud and the doves at thy window? It's a question. Surely the isles shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first to bring my sons from afar, their silver and their gold within them, unto the name of the Lord my God, and to the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified thee. And the sons of strangers shall build up my walls, and their kings shall minister unto me. For in my wrath, says the Lord, I have smote thee, but in my favor have mercy on thee. The Lord will have mercy upon us. Verse number 11. Therefore, your gates shall be continually open. Oh my God. I want you to say, my gates shall be continually open. In the name of Jesus, my gates shall be continually open. Do you know why your gates will be continually open? Because they're getting ready to bring you gifts every time. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and their kings may be brought. For the nations and the kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. Verse number 13. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee. The fir tree, the pine tree, and the box together to beautify the place of my sanctuary. And I will make the place of my feet glorious. The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee. I want you to declare that for yourself. Everyone that has afflicted me, their sons will come and bow down. Their sons will come and bow down. Everyone that has afflicted me, their sons will come and bow down unto me. Let's continue. And all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the sole of my feet, and they shall call me the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Let's say that one for Salvation Center. No, let's start from, and all that despise Salvation Center shall bow themselves down at the sole of thy feet, and they shall call the Salvation Center the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. 15. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellence, a joy of many generations. I want us to pray that for Salvation Center San Antonio, because we are a church, a covenant church. We were a covenant church from the beginning of this church. We are not by ourselves, but we belong to a covenant, And so the Redeemed Christian Church of God, no matter where in this world, can never die. I want us to pray this scripture for the Salvation Center San Antonio. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make Salvation Center San Antonio an eternal excellence, a joy of many generations. Number 16. Thou shalt also suck the milk. I want you to make it personal. I will suck the milk of Gentiles, and I will suck the breast of kings, and I shall know that the Lord, my God, is my Savior, my Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. For brass, the Lord will bring me gold. For iron, he will bring me silver. For wood, he will bring me brass. For stone, iron. I will also make officers peace and thy exactors righteousness. Verse 18. Violence shall no more be heard in my land, wasting nor destruction within my borders, but thou shalt call me walls of salvation, and my gates praise. The sun shall no more be my light by day, neither the brightness shall be the moon, shall the moon give light unto me, but the Lord shall be unto me an everlasting light, and my God, my glory. The Lord will be somebody's glory in this house, in Jesus' name. Verse 20. Sun shall no more go down. Oh, I wish somebody would pronounce that over their life. My sun shall no more go down. Neither shall my moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be my everlasting light, and the days of my mourning shall be ended. Thy people, my people also, shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. We will inherit Salvation Center San Antonio. We will inherit San Antonio for Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The branch of my planting, the work of my hand, that I may be glorified. That's God speaking. A little one shall become a thousand. Let me tell you this. Let me say this. When it says a little one, almost everyone under the sound of my voice, you've been a blessing one way or the other in this church, to people, home, whatever. God is saying to you, when it says 1,000, it's not talking about $1,000. It's saying that there's going to be multiplication in your life. Whatsoever you lay your hands on, according to what I have preached unto you today, whatever it is that you promised that you are carrying, that you want to birth, that company, that book, whatever it is, God says, and what he's saying here is, there shall be multiplication. A little one shall become 1,000, and a small one, a strong nation. I want you to place your hand on your belly and say, a strong nation shall come out of me. A strong nation shall come out of me. I want us to continue. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. I want you to decree and declare upon yourself. Place your hand on your belly. The word will come to life. I want you to say, the Lord will come to life. The word of God will come to life. In this, what I'm touching, the word of God will come to life. In the mighty name of Jesus, so shall it be, in Jesus' mighty name.